Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and happy Sunday. Welcome to the talk show version of What is Etiquette Anyway? I'm Donna Paige Riley, your host, and our co-host this evening is Denise. Denise, are you there?
Denise Harding. Yes, I am, Donna. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I am so glad that you all joined us out there, especially taking time over your Labor Day weekend, and it's certainly been a beautiful weekend here in Atlanta. It's just been absolutely gorgeous. Of course, I'm the etiquette lady, and the HR lady is on the other end, and I want to give you, first of all, so I don't forget, because I'm so excited about our topics that we're going to talk about, our live call-in number, which is area code 347-324-3295. Again, 347-324-3295. And if you prefer to email your comment or question to us, and we have several that we're going to try to cover today, the email address is info@pagesetiquette.com. Once again, that's info@pagesetiquette.com, spelled PAIGESETIQUETTE. Now, I'm the owner of Pages Etiquette Seminars, which is a company that specializes in personal and professional development training. Also, the author of What is Etiquette Anyway?, a book about manners for children, but grown-ups can read it too. And, of course, some of the chapters in this particular book, it covers common courtesies, table manners, posture and poise. It's just a great book for children ages 4 and up. And the other book, which is What is Executive Etiquette Anyway? And this book covers key ingredients, actually, for building successful working relationships. And I tell people, if you work with anyone other than yourself, then you certainly need to know the ingredients to building successful working relationships. And some of those topics include business over lunch, networking, executive dress, and casual Friday. And, of course, it makes a great professional development book. Now, for the new listeners out there, and I realize we do have new listeners every week, welcome if this is your first time listening. I always like to start by just telling you a little bit about the origin of the word etiquette. Now, etiquette is a fancy word for manners, and this particular word comes from an old French word meaning ticket. And it later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. And Charles I, as well as II of England, copied the rules of etiquette from the French court. And then these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. Isn't that interesting? And a lot of times people mispronounce this word, and they call it etiquette. And you've heard some of them, I'm sure, Denise, say etiquette.
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. And of course, understand why, because it's spelled E-T-I-Q-U-E-T-T-E, and the Q, yes, does make the cool sound. But since this word came from the French word that means ticket, I always say a great way to remember how to pronounce the word is to say the word slowly, and you will hear yourself say ticket. Go ahead and say it slowly, Denise.
Etiquette.
That wasn't slowly. Try it again, Denise. Say it slowly.
Oh. Etiquette.
Oh, you said ticket. So that's a good way to remember that it is spelled ticket. And, of course, if you have good etiquette, you have the ticket to society. Now, who doesn't want the ticket to society? Anybody out there don't want the ticket to society? Okay, I didn't think so. Okay, well, great. We are going to talk about today school etiquette, and it's actually school etiquette part two. Last week was part one, and we just talked about some tips on how to ensure a polite school year. And, of course, you know, what can be done to make sure that children, you know, are polite and respectful And it was really, really interesting. We had one educator that was on last week, and she basically, it was Tamara Watts. She was talking about the three layers to governing how students should behave. And so she kind of gave us some of the technical side, and I'll just take just a quick second to just kind of do an overview of a few of the things that she said before we bring on our other guest today. In those three layers, I remember her saying that one of the first, well, the first layer is signing the school code of student conduct. And basically that has to do with the do's and don'ts throughout the school district. And she was really stressing that parents really need to read and understand and discuss this particular form, the code of student conduct, with their children before returning, because this is a form that must be signed off by the parent and returned to the school. And she was saying that oftentimes, you know, parents don't really read it. They know that the child has to bring it back to school, so they just sign off on it. And I was saying to her, I remember when my son was in school, we would go over it together because he had to sign on it as well. So that's real important that, you know, the children do understand, and you can certainly do that by sitting down and going over that that conduct form. Also, she mentioned, secondly, the school-wide discipline plan per building. And just that just kind of talked about being whenever the school is unable, you know, to sort of govern that particular building, then they must reach out to the district for assistance. And, of course, you know, preferably wouldn't have to do that if, you know, the discipline is in order. And thirdly, she mentioned classroom management style, and that's basically, you know, what the expectations are. And she also made a plea to other educators about making sure that they communicate with the parents. So that was just really, really, it was some good information. That's kind of an overview of some of the things that she was talking about. But what I would like to do is to go ahead and to bring on, I am so excited about our other guest. I want to bring on our other guest, Ms. Watts, that was on last week. She was a middle school educator. So I'm really excited today because we're going to look at preschool, and we're going to look at elementary school as well. And I have two very special guests that are on with us this evening. I have two special guests. One is Ms. Teresa. Ms. Teresa, are you there?
Yes, I am, Donna.
Hi there. How are you?
I am good. Thank you.
And I also have, I'm just going to bring Ms. Nikki on as well. Ms. Nikki, are you there?
I'm here.
Great. How are you?
I'm fine. And you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much. And I think what we're going to do, if you guys would, I would like for you to just, you know, tell us a little about yourself, and they'll want to know who's the preschool and who's the elementary, and we'll kind of go from there. And then we've also received some emails, some questions as well that, you know, perhaps we can address as a group first. And if Ms. Teresa, if you would go first, we'll just start with preschool first.
Yes.
If you would just kind of tell everybody, you know, who you are and what you do and why I'm so excited to have you on.
Well, first off, Don and I go way back. I was her daycare provider and teacher and of her son, and she brought a lot of the etiquette to our school. I run a preschool and day school, and we go from birth to 8 years old, and we actually just teach them to become great students, and character and etiquette and all of that goes hand in hand. I've been doing it for about 25 years, and it's something that I love to do, and I'm really excited to hear about what everybody else is doing tonight.
Yes, great. And as she said, Ms. Teresa was Jared's preschool teacher, and he just loved her. Jared is now 19, so she kind of gives you an example of, or an idea of how long ago this was, but she was just so great at what she did. And, of course, he loved her. All the kids loved her. And,
thank you, Donna.
You know, just made a tremendous impact in the start of school, just absolutely phenomenal. Ms. Nikki, tell us about you. She is also special to me as well.
Yes, I am a special ed para at Midway Elementary School. This is my second year at the school as an educator, and I'm actually a former student of Miss Donna Riley.
Yes. Yes, yes. She
was my etiquette teacher, oh, wow, a long time ago.
Okay, now you know I'm only 25, so.
You're right.
Okay, let me look out for the lightning bolt to come through the ceiling here. But, yes, Miss Nikki was. She was one of my students, and she was also a contestant in one of my pageants as well, did an excellent job, and it's just so exciting to see what she is doing now. So if you all would just want to talk about, you know, just kind of start out by giving me some of your thoughts, you know, just of what you're thinking when we're talking about ensuring a polite and successful school year. Of course, polite and successful certainly goes together. It's, you know, children will not be as successful if they have discipline problems because, you know, so much of the time will be spent on discipline and not on actually learning. So either one of you can just kind of jump in there and just give me some of your thoughts, and then I also like to address some of the emails.
Okay, Donna, this is Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
I think that on my end, I'm strictly early childhood, and I think sometimes when we say early, people think of 4 or 5 years old, but it really starts at birth, and it is unbelievable what you can see and what you can develop at such an early age, along with fun and education at the same time. And I think people get the idea that you don't have to teach the children respect at an early age. It's cute when it's young, and by the time they hit 4 years old, it's not as cute as it used to be. So I think that's something that I address every day in what I do, and people are so surprised at how well behaved a student can be, or even a young child as young as 14 months old can be, if you start at the beginning, and it really does start at the beginning. And we have a lot of children. It's kind of interesting that the other guest host is into special education. That is really, really something that is close to my heart. And even with those children, that I think that kind of follows too. Would you think that it still follows through? You start early?
Yes, I agree. Well, I'm not only with the special education children. I also work with the regular ed as well.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the things that I see is the simple things, keeping your hands to yourself. Well, the things that we feel are simple, keeping your hands to yourself, respecting one's space, waiting your turn to speak, you know, are some of the things that I see with the younger children. When I say younger, I mean kindergarten, first and second grade.
Mm-hmm.
These are some things that I feel start at home, and I know that we're living in a fast-paced world where parents are working 2 or more jobs, but I feel that it's parents and also teachers' responsibility to find the time to teach our children the proper etiquette, even if it's in the car on the way to the school or the church or even in the bathtub, just having that, you know, the talk with your child, this is the way you behave in school or at home or with your friends. You wait your turn. You share your toys, or when someone's speaking, you wait and you let them speak first, and then you speak. Just the little things.
Don't you think, though, that especially with what you see, that you can see that it starts at home, and that how many students that you have, you can look at them and say, don't you all do this at home? I've had kids where they will jump on the furniture, and that may be something very slight, and that's something that we do. When you sit on the furniture, you don't put your shoes on it. And I will say to them, do you do that at home? Oh, yes. Yes, I do that at home. And you're looking at them thinking that I don't think parents really understand that it is up to them. Majority of what they're going to learn is up to them. We teach them, but we expect them to go home and be not only just taught, but just solidify what we've told them that day, that is something that they need to do. And I see that a lot with my younger kids. the parents will come in, and I'm sort of the teacher to the parents. And you have to say, this is what we expect. And I think that with a lot of our kids, especially when I see them after they go to school, but I get to build their character before they leave, and I get some students that come in at 4 years old, and it's uncontrollable. And so you look at the parents are awesome, they are bright, they're, some of them are middle class or upper class or what have you, and it's all the same. There's the formula of all the same. If you don't start from the beginning, it's very difficult. Then they want to ask you the question, well, how do you get to do it? And I think one of the answers is consistency. You have to be consistent no matter what it is that you're doing, whether it's getting your child to do their work or having the child go to school and talk to the teacher. You have to be consistent with whatever that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with the educator that was on last week. We have to work with the parents.
Exactly.
We have to get the parents to understand that this is something that needs to be done here and at school and at home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And even something that you said, Nikki, about us living in a fast-paced society, you're right. I always say, okay, yeah, we're in this fast-food microwave, hurry up and get out of my way society. But we all have to take time to practice, you know, common courtesies. That is so important. And I had mentioned last week that I had written an article about 10 years ago, and that article was titled, Whose Job Is It to Teach Children Manners? And I was just really, I was just blindsided by the fact that so many parents said it was the schools for the simple fact that's where they spend most of their day.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I beg to differ with that because it really should begin at home, and should is the operative word, so that by the time they get to school, basically, the only thing the school has to do is reinforce what they've learned at home. But, of course, as you all know, once you see them and there is nothing that is already there, you know, there's nothing to reinforce. So that's when you guys kind of step in and try to do it. And, of course, it's important, like you were saying, Ms. Teresa, consistency is key. And so, you know, even when I have children oftentimes in etiquette class, I'll say, well, when you go home, you'll become the etiquette police. And they're like, wow. So then they watch for behavior, and, you know, if they see rude behavior, then they'll say something nice, you know, it's how you say it, of course. But it's just making them, you know, continue to be conscious, you know, of proper behavior. Mm-hmm. And if I can ask this question to you, Miss Nikki, one of the questions at the end of the show last week was about, she basically had asked, is learning how to communicate and interact with physically challenged students or, you know, students that are different from them, is that addressed in the classroom just, you know, in general, or is it addressed maybe if there is a child just that happens to be, you know, a special needs child that happens to be in a class, you know, is that the time that it may be addressed? Or, and her concern was she has a younger sibling that is physically challenged, and children don't know how to treat him, you know, and she was, you know, she did call that question in to find out. And I told her I didn't think so, but I don't know. So I'm going to just pose that to you all. Is this something that you're familiar with that, you know, just in general, I guess, is it something that is taught, or is it taught more so if, you know, in the situation, Ms. Nikki, like if you're teaching and you have students that are, you know, physically challenged, of course, I'm sure it must be communicated, you know, somehow.
Well, now it's more of a situational
mm-hmm.
because the children are, there's full inclusion now with special ed. Children are in the classroom with regular ed, and the only way it's addressed is if the child is in that classroom. There's no special time set aside to,
mm-hmm.
you know, talk to the regular ed kids about, well, this child is special, and, you know, he may blurt out or say some things but just ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's okay to play with him because he's a child just like you. You know, he just may look a little different, or she just may look a little different, but she's a child just like you.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I myself, I wish that it was taught or brought to everyone's attention, because there are also some educators that may not work with special education children, and they look at them a little different, or may move away a little bit from them because of, you know, maybe a episode that a child may be having. And it's kind of disturbing to myself, and I too wish that we had some type of intervention or some type of class or something that we could teach them and show them that they're regular people just like you. They have a little, they have some difficulties, but they do the same things that you do.
So just more of an awareness type,
yes,
you know,
awareness
course. But I told her, to my knowledge, I did not think so. And oftentimes when people do not know, you know, how to interact with those that are different than they are, they will either usually do nothing or they'll do the wrong thing, you know. So, and that, you know, that is just so important.
Maybe to interject on that, I know that with my preschoolers, we have had children that have done those things, maybe blurted out, they yell, they scream, they run, they bite, and the children know they're different. And from early on, what we do is that it's not even a fact that you have to say they're different. They actually know they're different. But if you treat them the same as you do the others and have the same expectations, then the children would do that also, because I haven't had any of the children say, oh, he doesn't act right or he's strange. Matter of fact, they sometimes will mimic in a good way, and it sort of makes the other child feel comfortable. But I think that if that's taught early on, and maybe you're right, maybe there is classes that parents can take, but what parents would do it? Which parents would?
Right, exactly.
Which ones would you say? I mean, if I had a child that didn't have it, any issue, then I would say that I would probably not care less one way or the other. So it's probably not something that somebody would do, but it's something that does need to be addressed at school.
And I think Denise.
Yeah.
Was that pretty much, I think that was pretty much all she had asked regarding that. Was that, is that correct?
Yes, I believe that is correct. Okay. I don't remember anything more specific than that, Donna.
Yeah, that's really interesting. But I thought that may have been the case, you know, unless they actually have someone in the room that's different, then, of course, you know, it will be addressed. But that's quite interesting. If we can, I want to, if you all don't mind, I want to go to, we have several emails. Let me read this one and just kind of get you guys your take on this. This one is from Daisy from Trenton, New Jersey. It says, I don't feel comfortable going to my child's school. The administration seems to be very untouchable and makes you feel unwelcome. How can I overcome this, because I know I need to be involved? Several parents share my same feeling. Daisy,
you know, it's a private school or public school?
I'm assuming it's a private or a public school, and this is pretty—it's kind of common. And I say that because when I teach parent workshops, we talk about this kind of thing, because I tell them they need to make sure they develop a relationship, you know, with the teachers and the staff, and they go up there and. And all the time, and it doesn't matter where I am and what part of the country, I've had parents say, well, I don't feel comfortable going to my school because it just doesn't seem parent-friendly. And my thing is always, well, you're just going to have to go anyway, because it's very important that, you know, you have communication with the school and the teachers. You have to. And then I understand that some parents are a little more, you know, self-conscious than others, and so what would you guys say to this? What would you tell her? I'm sure she's listening.
I would tell her that the parents are almost like customers, and the school is the service provider for the parent and the student, and the parent has expectations of the school, and you are the customer. We are here to serve you. Whatever it is you need, you come to us and speak to us, even if the administration may seem as if they have a chip on their shoulder, because I'm personally kind of bold myself. Just go up to that person and speak to them. Let them know what's on your mind. They have to consider your comments or your requests. It's our job to,
right?
Whether we like them or not. We have to consider them.
I have seen
another
that.
Thing I would think, too, is sometimes parents are not that comfortable speaking with their children's teachers. They could also go to the principal or other administrators if they feel more comfortable. In I work in retail, and I've worked in restaurants as an HR manager, and, you know, when a person complains or has a legitimate complaint or an issue, if the person they are trying to talk to does not reply, then we encourage them to go to the next level. And I know that in the school systems there are levels in terms of people who are in charge or what have you, but I would say that you should not just let it go. You should continue to try and voice your opinion and let someone know what is going on, because that's the only way that someone can do something about it or attempt to eliminate it altogether in the public schools as well as private schools.
Mm-hmm. And just kind of piggybacking from that, I have another email here on the same, you know, similar line. It says, what should I do when I have a conflict with one of my child's teachers? I believe she is only there for the money and not for the love of teaching. Her attitude is, I got mine, so get yours. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, and this is just from a concerned parent, is how it's actually signed. And unfortunately, there are great teachers, and there are teachers that may not necessarily be in the classroom. Generally, the children are the ones who suffer for that. Mm-hmm. So just me throwing my little comment out first is, if you really don't want to be in the classroom and you're there just for a job, you really need to do something else, because teaching actually is a gift.
Yeah.
And everyone is not gifted to teach. So therefore, everyone should not be there. Now, if the parent is picking this up, probably the student has picked it up as well. And she doesn't state, you know, the age of her child or anything like that. But I'm interested in you guys just kind of, you know, commenting on that as well.
Well, you do know she's paying, so it's probably private school. And so if it's private school, they pretty much can do whatever they want to do. However, you just, on those situations, you just stand strong. Just because there's a lot of people out there and a lot of teachers that are teaching for the money. So you would have to get rid of so many teachers. Everybody doesn't have the love for it, or maybe they don't know how to show it. So what the parents, to me, have to do is to just stand strong. You have to feel just as important and as knowledgeable as the person that you're talking to. And you just step over their heads, whether it's private,
mm-hmm.
whether it's public or whatever. You just keep taking the steps. But what I've taught
mm-hmm.
my parents to do is don't ever give up. There's always
right.
somebody ahead. Corporate world will teach you that there's always an exception to the rule, no matter what. So you keep going, because your child is worth it. And if, like I tell people, if you think your child's in danger, don't stay one day past danger. If your child's not learning anything, don't let them sit one day past not learning. It is your responsibility to make sure your child gets the education. If the teacher doesn't want to do it, you find the teacher that does. If that school's not for you, you find the school. And there's not a lot you can do to make someone want to do it, and you can't get rid of every teacher who teaches for the money.
Great comment. You know, so the bottom line is, you know, don't give up. And you have to be able to communicate with the schools, and it's, of course, it's always better to feel comfortable when you do it.
Right.
But you know, I agree.
Like always,
mm-hmm, you can't give up. You cannot
right.
give up. And even as the children get older, and a lot of times parents have a tendency to just kind of draw back, you know, as the kids get older, as they move on to middle school and high school. Oh, they're a little more independent. No, that's when you really need to be there
exactly.
as well. So.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere, and I know myself, I started with Miss Teresa
mm-hmm.
in preschool, and I was had a, you know, a relationship with every teacher
mm-hmm.
Jared had, and even as he went to middle school and high school and had several different teachers, I knew all of them. They all knew Jared Riley's mother because she was always there, and that was through his senior year in high school. And it is very necessary to establish those relationships, to establish them early on. And like you were saying, Miss Nikki and
Miss Teresa,
to make sure, you just have to do it. You can't give up. You have to do it. And mm-hmm. You're right. You are right, Miss Teresa, as well, saying that, yes, there are several teachers, unfortunately, that are there, kind of for the check. And if you get rid of them all, then, boy, we would really have a problem, too. There's nobody to...
No good solution right there.
Yeah. Here is Etiquette Lady. It is great to hear other educators as passionate as I am. I totally agree with the comments and advice that it is being shared. And this is an educator teaching in the Detroit public school system. Okay. Let's see if we can bring a caller on. I wanted to try to address the emails, which we've had over the last couple of weeks. Let's see if we can pull a caller on. Hello, caller, can you hear me? Hello? Okay, all right. They changed their mind. Maybe they'll send an email. And it's okay, and you all, it's quite okay if, it's okay really to call in, but if you feel more comfortable, then yes, you can go ahead and send emails, as a lot of you are doing. Also, at the end of the show last week, there was another lady that called in, Dawn from Cleveland. Her question was, how can I get my 10-year-old daughter to be excited about school, learning, and especially doing homework? And Denise, remember when she was saying that her daughter just wanted to all, especially the homework, she's, well, can I do it later? Can I do it
mm-hmm.
later? And, then she later would
put,
come.
She was trying to put it off or procrastinate a little.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to know basically what she could do to get her or to motivate her to do that homework.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let you guys address it, but what I suggested to her was, when her daughter comes home, give her a nice snack and let her eat and then have her do her homework at that time so that she doesn't put it off, because then later
mm-hmm.
she's going to want to watch TV, and then, she may not be able to watch TV because she has to go back and do her homework. And so I suggested that she came home and ate, relaxed for a minute, and then did her homework and got it out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to let you guys take that question, if you will.
Maybe she could show her the rewards of an education. I know that maybe the child is only 10, but 10-year-olds understand an awful lot. Just show her the rewards and maybe try some kind of way to make homework a little fun for her, or,
mm-hmm.
Some kind of way to get her motivated about learning.
Mm-hmm. Like incentives and things of that nature.
Yes, incentives,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I asked her if she also had a relationship with her teacher. And she said, well, last year they really didn't, kind of get along, but this year she's going to another school, so I told her to look at this as, this is a clean slate, a new start for her, and to get in, to speak with the teacher and the three of them to form that relationship or that bond right away. And so that, the daughter knows, because anytime your child knows that, there is communication going on with the teacher and the parent, you're going to have a totally different parent, totally different student, for the simple fact because they know that, I know my mom talks to my teacher, so, I can't say, oh, I don't have any homework and I have all this homework to do, because my mom's going to find out, so I may as well go ahead and be honest and do it. And you all agree with that?
I think somewhat, too, but I think that I've had a lot of parents say that their kids have a hard time sitting down doing homework, and it is very difficult for the kids to get motivated. But I think that some of the successes that I've had with some of the parents is that it takes work from home. So maybe that parent may want to, and it may be hard to do because we are in that type of society, I found that if you sit down with the student, and maybe if that parent sits and reads, makes it exciting, the daughter sits at the table, and maybe mom is reading or doing some type of puzzle while daughter has, because sometimes they're just lonely sitting there by themselves, and nobody wants to go into a room and do homework because it seems so mundane. So I found that if you kind of give them some of that excitement, sit close by and just kind of be interactive with them, it helps a little bit more.
And Dawn, hopefully you are listening again this evening, as you said you would be, and make sure that you try these suggestions, and certainly, you know, in a few weeks, give us a call back or email us and just kind of give us an update on how your daughter is doing. And, of course, tomorrow, or Tuesday, I think, all of the schools will be back, and I know most in the southeastern region started a week or 2 weeks ago, so traditionally after Labor Day, all the schools around the country are back in, and that's another reason we wanted to do this show at this particular time, to try to talk about, you know, what is happening now and what are some of the expectations over the course of the school year. What would you say to parents? If you could talk to parents right now, what is one of the number one things that you would tell a parent to work with at home with their child in terms of, you know, being polite and how to set them up, no matter what grade they're in, how to set them up to be successful, you know, not just this school year, but to start that for, you know, the rest of their school life? And either one of you can kind of talk about that. What would be some of the key ingredients that you would tell a parent? Because, of course, parents, and I always say this all the time, parenting is the most challenging, difficult right. job there is, and the job that you need absolutely zero experience prior to, you know, taking the job on. And it's just incredible because everything else, you have to take classes and, you know, you have to, you go back and you take continuing ed. And this is just, you know, one area that the children don't come from the hospital with a handbook, do they? I mean, I know my child's 19, so do they have one now? Anybody know? they have a handbook
that I know of.
Right, right. So it's so important for parents, you know, to know and to understand, you know, some things that they really can't, that can help them. You know, there aren't any continuing ed classes or anything like that, but it's so important for parents to be informed and to seek out. A lot of these counties and school districts have parent workshops, and they're very important to attend. So either one of you just kind of, you know, will kind of be able to leave the audience with some of these thoughts.
Well, I would just go ahead.
No, well, from the preschool part, just be consistent and start early. And remember that you do have that help. It's called extended family and people that you trust. So if you don't know, it's not something that you should be afraid or ashamed to ask. Everybody is not born with that motherly or fatherly instinct. So just get your resources and be consistent and do the best that you can. And that's kind of from the preschool.
Okay, well, coming from the elementary, at that time, too, it is important to be consistent with your child and teaching them to respect each other, themselves most importantly. And like you said, utilize your resources. There are lots of resources in the county that parents don't know about or they don't come in to find out about. So utilize your resources and be consistent.
And I would even like to add, making sure that you as a parent teach your children to respect you, because if your children do not respect you, they will not respect any other authoritative figure.
That is right.
Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen. And that's you right. hear children in schools many times, and their favorite quote is, "My mama doesn't talk to me like that."
Mm.
And usually the response is, "That's the problem," that she doesn't. So really, it's really important. And really think about that. I mean, you're your child's first role model, and they will either respect you or they will not. And a lot of times when that is the case, what happens is children or parents are, they're finding themselves being busy trying to be their child's friend, and you cannot be a friend and a parent at the same time.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And it is so important to make sure that you establish that you are the parent, because, you know, they will try you. That's their job. And our job is to be consistent and no. So that is really, really important. So,
you know, Don, I'm going to add something here. I know that you all are talking about parents and teachers and school, but all of these things that you are mentioning, it carries over into the work world as well. I interviewed most of my career, 16 and 17-year-olds in retail. And I could, you know, in the interview, you can tell when they have been taught to be polite and have very good manners. So for me, when I do interview and that is present, I look at that as a part of them having a very positive position, or it makes for a good employee in the company. So you all keep doing what you're doing in the school world. I taught for 6 years. That's about as much as I could do. And I know it is challenging, but you all keep carrying on with the work that you do for the students, because in the work world it does make a difference.
That's true. Mm-hmm. So, because actually all of this is life skills.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And they start from preschool on up. The pattern is being set.
Right.
And that is very important. And I don't know if you all feel like I do when I encounter, I won't just say children, people, period, that are really courteous. It's like, oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she is so polite. Now, shouldn't that be the opposite?
It should be.
You know, think about it. Shouldn't that be the opposite? You know,
everybody would think.
Right.
Well, I've had parents say, I don't really like the fact that my child is saying yes, ma'am, and no, sir. And I look at them with such awe and amazement. Well, it's just too much in the mentality that I don't like. We've been oppressed, and I'm thinking, you're going to be really oppressed when that child is 10 years old, and they have no respect for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you take away the few tools that we have, and then there's nothing left. The teachers have no tools.
Exactly.
And what's going to become of their student?
Exactly, exactly. Well, listen, I thank you all so much. We're almost out of time. I thank you all so much for the information that you've shared. I thank you for what you were doing in terms of impacting these children's lives. And just, you know, please hang in there. Let me say thank you on behalf of all the parents and the students, just to say thank you, and we really appreciate what you're doing. And even on those days where you may feel a little stressed out and unappreciated, know that you are certainly making a difference. You guys out there, thank you so much for listening. It's been a wonderful show. Thank you for spending some of your holiday weekend with us. Continue to be safe. And as we say every week, it's just nice to be nice. And, of course, I want you to remember the golden rule, which is the first rule of etiquette, and that is treat others the way you want to be treated. And do remember to just feel good about yourself, be considerate of others, and be the best you can be. Thanks again, everyone, for joining me. Good night, and God bless. You've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway?, the talk show version. Please join us next week at the same time, 7:30 p.m.